Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, it's been a while. Bill O'Reilly at BillO'Reilly.com. You can follow his podcast there. And he joins us now with a new book coming out in October. Good morning, Mr. O'Reilly.
Steve, how you doing? Thanks for having me in.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. Let's talk about your book for a second before we get to the other stuff. Killing the SS. How many is this now? How many killing books?
This is the eighth one, 12 million sold. Killing the SS, the hunt for the worst war criminals in history. Different from the other seven in the sense that we break a lot of news here. A lot of things that people didn't know that happened after World War II ended, and these heinous concentration camp people tried to escape, and many of them did. And you'll be surprised at who helped them. So this is more of an investigative book than a history book.
And how big a team do you have that helps you do all the research on this?
Martin Dugard, my co-author, and I pretty much do it all. It takes a year to write these books. But we're the heavy lifters, Steve.
So you got Himmler, you got Mengele, you got Barbie, you got Eichmann. You got a new movie, obviously, Operation Finale, about the search for Eichmann. Yeah, I don't want to give the book away, but give me one of the surprises that surprised you.
We were able, because I wrote a book called Killing Jesus, and we established a very strong relationship with the Israeli government and Mossad, their intelligence arm. So for this book, we were able to get classified information from the Israelis about the hunt for Eichmann and the hunt for Mengele, the angel of death in Auschwitz, and what actually happened and how these guys eluded capture for so many years. Stuff's never been seen before. So that's really the headline of the book.
Okay. Book's out in October, and I believe you can pre-order it wherever you buy books now. If not, you'll be able to do that in a few days. We keep hearing about...
Yeah, you can pre-order on BillO'Reilly.com, Amazon, okay. All the others.
All right. We keep hearing about how Sean Hannity and Lou Dobbs are on speed dial with the president. Does he ask you for advice?
You know, I talk to him once in a while. As you may know, I've known him for 30 years. Not a lot, but I talk to a lot of politicians.
But
I mean, a lot of them call me.
Yeah, but this is different. This is the president. I mean, does he ask you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's different. But I never say, you know, what the conversations entail. But he asked my opinion on things, yes.
Well, you know, from the Super Bowl interview a couple of years ago, which made all the news about, you know, when the president said, yeah, Bill, we, you know, a lot of people are killers. You know, you've written a lot about where the president's fallen short or you've disagreed with him. What is he doing wrong?
I think it's messaging. The problem with Donald Trump is that he has no history of discipline when he speaks. All right, that's a very important thing I just told you. So he's a rich guy. He's always been a rich guy, brought up in a wealthy family in New York City. People like that say what they want.
Right.
I mean, they never temper what they say because they're rich guys. Then they walk around and they spout. He's also emotional and reacts emotionally. So he brought that into the White House where every word, every tweet means something and is analyzed. And a lot of times he'll say something, doesn't come out right, he didn't mean exactly what the press interprets it as, that kind of thing. So his main deficit right now is the messaging, and that's why he's become such a polarizing figure.
Bill, there's a lot been made about the president on social media, on Twitter, and what he does, apparently, after watching cable news shows like Fox and Friends. You know, for you, you've spent most of your entire career in cable news, and you know how much of it is can be serious news, but you also know how much of it is entertainment. Is it wrong for the president to sort of set policy or have his opinion echo what we are watching on cable news?
I don't know if the word wrong is the description I would use. Cable news in America is now divided into two sections. Hate Trump, love Trump. That's where the money is. Mm-hmm. All right. When I worked at Fox for more than 20 years, we didn't have any of that. Roger Ailes, my boss, didn't even like Trump. Didn't think he was disciplined enough to run the country. But now the money is made in the precincts of hate 'em, love 'em. He, the president, wants his opinions reinforced. That's what he wants. So he listens to the programs that do that and then will tweet out. I don't see that as a plus for the country, but I don't think it's damaging. It's more trivial to me.
Yeah, but it's trivial because you know him. For people who worship him and don't know his pluses and minuses, that's where it can head down a dangerous road if you believe everything he's sending out.
Well, it depends what it is. You know, Americans have to decide whether a flawed individual who is not practicing politics the way it's been practiced before in the past is worth it. So the plus side is the economy is doing great and most Americans are benefiting from that. The ISIS killers are on the run everywhere. The trade deals will probably go our way because we have so much power in the United States. Those are the pluses. So you have to weigh that against the minuses. And, you know, I've never seen a politician, and you guys know I write books about Abraham Lincoln and John F. Kennedy. I've never seen a politician polarize the way Donald Trump does.
If he had or would live in the arena of, yeah, we've had a lot of successes, and this is why he's his own worst enemy, he would be much more popular and much better off and probably take less antacids. But having said that, the fake news thing, when he screams fake news, every time there's a negative story about him, he reinforces an attitude in this country that nobody doing the news can be trusted. Some of the people doing the news shouldn't be trusted. But when you say nobody can be trusted doing the news, you're doing damage.
Well, I mean, he has his favorite people. I don't know if he's doing damage. He's winning that war, number one.
That doesn't mean he's not hurting people.
Most Americans... What?
That doesn't mean he's not hurting people. That doesn't mean he's not hurting the ability to cover politicians.
Let's step back. All right? Number one, he's winning the war. Most Americans do not believe they're getting honest news. Number two, he has been treated by the press worse than any president in history, with the exception of Abraham Lincoln. Number three, and I know this to be true, the American national media has no interest in finding the truth. They want him out. They want to destroy him. That is the agenda that's imposed. That's the culture in most of the newsrooms. And so, yes, is he trivializing the issue by saying fake news, fake news, fake news? Yeah, he is. But to him, he's winning that fight. And to him, the press is corrupt and has not given him a fair chance.
Big story in media circles this week, Bill, of course, has to do with Les Moonves at CBS. A question, you know, it keeps coming up with what's happening with the Me Too movement and issues of sexual misconduct allegations. Is less about the powerful person and more about the culture of protecting powerful people. For you, do you think that the culture has to change?
I'm not a person who does a general analysis of a situation like this, because I believe that each case is different. But you don't get that, and this goes back to how the news is reported. Each case is different. Some of them are valid, and some of them need to be dealt with, and others are bogus. And due process has to come back, all right? Just because you have an allegation in the Chicago Tribune doesn't make it true. And I'll tell you that the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Chicago Trib, they're not looking for what happened. I mean, they're not investigating. They'll take the allegation, slap it on page one, and all of a sudden, Moonves or whoever it is through. So, in a sane society, you say, in the workplace, people need protections, right?
Well, yeah,
every American would say that. I'm in a union. I want protections. Everybody should have them, all right? But not all accusations are true. And there's an industry that actually advertises on the radio. Hey, if you've been abused or anything like that, you call me.
Right, I get
that.
I'm
a lawyer, and I'll go in and get you money.
But here's the thing. Not all of them are untrue, Bill. They're, you know, if you grant that, not all of them are true.
We live in a country where you're innocent until proven guilty. If we lived in France and the Napoleonic Code, where you're guilty until proven innocent, that statement would have more validity. But here, due process is flying right out the window, is it not?
In some cases.
Okay. But again, if you, it has to be beyond a reasonable doubt. And in a lot of these cases, that's true. It is, the evidence is the evidence. There it is. But in many of them, Moonves says he didn't do this stuff. Okay, that's what he says. He didn't do it. I don't know. I know Moonves a little, but I don't know him enough to comment on him. I don't know what happened. But he's convicted. He's done.
Well, that's also human nature, Mr. O'Reilly. Can you at least agree, though, that there needs to be a shift in the power balance in corporate culture? I mean, naturally speaking, a room full of men act different than a room full of men and women versus a room full of women. You know, like having some more balance there might help change what's been accused in all these cases.
I have never liked working for corporations, and I am overjoyed to run my own show now on BillO'Reilly.com, and I don't answer to any of the masters. I have never liked the Old Boys Network. I know it exists. I have never liked it because it isn't fair. There is no due process within corporations. It's all, I like you, I don't like you. You might be the most talented person on earth. You're out the door if you look at me cross-eyed. I don't like it. So anything that would improve that culture, that would bring in more people who are fair-minded, I support.
But do you understand why people are so angry in this, and to label it the Me Too era? Because there has been this imbalance, you know, going back as long as you and I have been alive.
I do understand that people who have gotten a bad deal in corporate America are angry. All right? And it's personal. That's obvious. But I also understand that if we continue down this road of everybody's guilty, that there isn't a man in the country with assets or power who's safe. That if you dismiss someone, fire someone, don't get along with someone, they can turn around and destroy you and your family in a heartbeat. You think that's good?
Well,
I don't think so.
No, of course it's not good. But there's a difference, and I'll let you go on this, but there's a difference between criminal courts and the court of culture and the court of the real people. Now, I'm not saying it's fair, but what the internet does is way different than what happens in a criminal court, and I don't know how you put that genie back in the bottle.
I don't either. But I will tell you this, in a civil court, it's the preponderance of evidence, where in a criminal court, it's beyond a reasonable doubt. In both cases, the key is evidence, not he said, she said. But again, corporations have been so bad for so long that you're not going to get sympathy for them. I mean, I've worked 45 years in the corporate world. I know what it is. I've seen it. I got hosed many times. And so that you're not going to, you know, people are going to go, oh, yeah, it's been that way forever, so we need a change. Okay, but let's make sure the change is based on fairness. That's all I say.
Right, and next time we'll talk about fairness when it comes to fake news and all that stuff, too. But I appreciate you coming on. And when,
sure.
What is the book called again?
Killing the SS, The Hunt for the Worst War Criminals in History. It's about evil, and I think you guys are going to enjoy it.
And if
you want to, once you start reading it, you're not going to be able to stop. just like the other killing books.
And if people want to know where you are at all times, just go to BillO'Reilly.com.
Yeah, BOR.com. We have a very good time there. We're honest. And if people check it out, I think they'll be pleased. I hope so, anyway. And I really appreciate you guys having me in, WGN's legend. And I really appreciate being on your air.
I appreciate you coming on. Thank you, Bill O'Reilly. And again, that's BillO'Reilly.com.